Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
No, first of all, we're not asking you over to a Wong Kim arc. We agree with the holding of Wong Kim arc and much of the reasoning. And then as to those later cases starting in 1966, where the court makes sort of, you know, unreasoned references to this issue.
Wait a minute. In top, you loose. The respondent unlawfully overstayed her visa and gave birth to a child here. The court, Harlan II, wrote, the child is, of course, an American citizen. That person wasn't domiciled here lawfully. So you're asking us to overrule that case?
I wouldn't say we're asking you to overrule. We think that's similar to a drive-by jurisdictional ruling where there's a simple statement that's not debated. There's no further analysis of it. There's really an assumption there. And we think that's similar to cases where the court just assumes jurisdiction without discussing it.
So Sonia Sotomayor is giving John Sauer, the Solicitor General, a case where clearly what he wants to say was ruled the other way. And he's like, yeah, but they didn't explain it very good. So if you've been listening all morning, we've been talking about the Supreme Court case. Oral arguments were heard last week over this is the Trump birthright citizenship case, you know, where the 14th Amendment has always been understood to mean that if you are born on United States territory, United States soil, okay, birth by soil as opposed, or citizenship by soil as opposed to citizenship by blood, then you're an American, with a couple of very specific exceptions that have always been recognized as exceptions. And so and of course, President Trump says, no. If you are only a temporary passerby, or if you are here illegally, you cannot be justified under the concept of a domicile. You don't have a domicile here. You are not lawfully here and expecting to stay. Therefore, you are not a citizen. It's kind of a weird test that they have come up with as a way of explaining why they think, for example, that vacationers and visitors who are not here permanently and not expecting to stay, and people who are here illegally, do not get citizenship, do not count as citizens. Key moment in the conversation was Sonia Sotomayor asking him, well, you want us to overturn our Wong Kim arc, which is this case that came up about 100 years ago in which the Supreme Court ruled that a person who had been born here of parents who lived here and were staying here, but they were Chinese, they went back to China. He came back here and he was denied entry. And the Supreme Court said, no, he's a citizen. What's wrong with you? And that's been basically the primo case ever since then. That's the one that everybody looks at. It was actually codified that same the language that was in the 14th Amendment, the one that's got a lot of attention, which is that subject to the jurisdiction thereof, born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, was reaffirmed in the 1952 Immigration Nationality Act, saying the exact same thing that was after Wong Kim Ark, meaning that the Congress, this is the other side arguing, Congress believes that, and the country believes, that if you are born here, that's it. Case over. What the Trump administration, what John Sauer believes and are arguing is nobody ever even had a concept of illegal immigration when this 14th Amendment was passed. We didn't have rules. Anybody could come here. They could come, they could go, they could stay, they could not stay. There just wasn't such a thing as illegal immigration. And therefore, saying that this rule crafted in a time where illegal immigration wasn't even an issue, well, it doesn't apply. But as Justice Neil Gorsuch said, you could have shown up in 1968, you could establish domicile, no problem, and that Justice John Marshall Harlan, who dissented in Wong Kim Ark, indicated that even he agreed that under the decision, the child of English visitors in the U.S. would be a U.S. citizen, an interpretation supporting the challengers. So that's going to be the issue, and when we get to Cecilia Wong, who is the ACLU legal director, arguing for the other side, arguing that these people do have citizenship.
Ask any American what our citizenship rule is, and they'll tell you. Everyone born here is a citizen alike. That rule was enshrined in the 14th Amendment to put it out of the reach of any government official to destroy.
And certainly until this most recent issue with President Trump, there were precious few people who even questioned this. Everybody generally just assumed, just like, you know, you assume that a rule made for guns that had, you know, were like muskets also covered your semi-automatic pistol or your, you know, semi-automatic rifle, because even though those did not exist at the time the rule was created in the Second Amendment, it's still firearms. And until it's been changed, it still works that way. And that's because that's how everybody has interpreted it ever since. Same with the 14th Amendment.
And the government tried to strip Mr. Wong Kim Ark's citizenship on largely the same grounds they raised today. This court said no. 30 years after ratification, this court held that the 14th Amendment embodies the English common law rule. Virtually everyone born on U.S. soil is subject to its jurisdiction and is a citizen.
Now, it is worth mentioning that there are exceptions to this because, again, it's that subject to the jurisdiction thereof which creates room for the exceptions. The exceptions are if you were born here to foreign diplomats. You know, the ambassador has a kid in New York. The kid is not an American because ambassadors are foreign diplomats. That's an exception because you're not subject to the jurisdiction thereof, which does not mean not subject to the laws in any way, although it's interesting how, you know, foreign diplomats are not subject to the laws, right? Members of hostile occupying armies. Because they're not subject to the laws either, and they're not subject to the jurisdiction. They're here illegally in, you know, in an attack, and their kids do not become citizens just because they were born here. Also, foreign public vessels, you know, ships and boats and things like that. So this a lot of this traces back to the Dred Scott decision, which declared blacks were not citizens. Then we had a civil war. Then we had the Civil Rights Act, which said that they were, which was then codified in the 14th Amendment. Blacks are citizens by birth and subject to the jurisdiction. Wong Kim Ark says these people who were here of a foreign nation, but they were legally here, that kid, though they tried to exclude him, was a citizen. And so you have this long history of believing that everybody who was born here just by virtue of being born here, even birth tourists, people who come from China to have their kid born in L.A., that's an American. Even people who come here illegally, yes, that's an American. We may not like it. We may not think it's a good idea, but it is what the law has been thought to have said all of this time.
It excludes only those cloaked with a fiction of extraterritoriality because they are subject to another sovereign's jurisdiction, even when they're in the United States. A closed set of exceptions to an otherwise universal rule.
That's it.
My friend has now clearly said that the government is not asking you to overrule Wong Kim Ark. That is a fatal concession because Wong Kim Ark's controlling rule of decision precludes their parental domicile requirement. The dissent understood that, and the majority tells us six times in the opinion that domicile is irrelevant under common law.
So in the Wong Kim Ark decision, they actually explained that the concept that the Trump administration, through John Sauer, Solicitor General, what they're hinging their argument on, domicile status, being here legally, intending to stay, does not matter, is irrelevant. And yet they say, John Sauer said, I don't want to see you overturn Wong Kim Ark. So there are at least two different ways in which the concession to not overturn that precedent is going to ruin their case, my opinion. I think the Supreme Court is going to rule on this. I think they're going to rule 9-0. I think they're going to tell the Trump administration to go pound sand that they're completely crazy. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on Navarre Parkway around Mooring Drive, we're still dealing with the accident that happened earlier. Traffic is basically backed up past the Navarre Beach Bridge, so expect about an 18-minute delay in that area. Let's see here. Come on, Windows 95. Okay, I-10, let's see here, eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, right around the Highway 29 exit, seeing just some minor delays, but 90. Everything else looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the Supreme Court oral arguments over the birthright citizenship question, which, again, they're not going to rule until June or July. But most of the commentators, and I'd say all of the commentators I have seen, expect the Supreme Court to tell Trump no. I expect them to tell Trump no. I expect them to rule even unanimously on this particular issue. There was a case in 1844 which also seemed to prove that the expectation of birthright citizenship would even apply to people who are here very temporarily.
Lynch versus Clark was already the dominant American case on citizenship, and it held that the U.S.-born daughter of temporary visitors from Ireland who took the baby back to Ireland with them, that that daughter was a U.S. citizen. Authorities, including Lincoln's Attorney General and Kent's commentaries, embraced Lynch, and Kent specifically talked about temporary sojourners' children being U.S. citizens. Justice Field said in 1884 that that reflected the general understanding. That understanding was confirmed by Congress with its 1940 Act.
And you wouldn't ever imagine that in passing the 14th Amendment, what the country intended to do was raise the bar for citizenship, because it was clearly lowering the bar for citizenship by expanding it to be sure it covered all the slaves and children of former slaves. And that's what she's getting at here, is everybody knew this was the case and nothing has changed since then.
The 14th Amendment's fixed bright line rule has contributed to the growth and thriving of our nation. It comes from text and history. It is workable and it prevents manipulation. The executive order fails on all those counts. Swaths of American laws would be rendered senseless. Thousands of American babies will immediately lose their citizenship. And if you credit the government's theory, the citizenship of millions of Americans, past, present, and future, could be called into question. All of this tells us the government's theory is wrong.
And by the way, the government, John Sauer, has said they are only applying this prospectively, as into future births. They're not trying to retroactively strip citizenship out of everybody's hands who already has it. But as they came up in the oral arguments, why? Once you allow that citizenship does not flow to people who are not domiciled here, then that would apply future and also past, because there's no logical line drawing that would protect people from having it taken away from them retroactively.
Even in World War II, when the United States was detaining Japanese nationals who were deemed enemy aliens of the United States, when those enemy aliens had babies in these detention camps, everyone agreed that those babies were U.S. citizens. And Professor Mueller goes on to explain that, you know, there are many cases of those U.S. citizens going on to a lifetime of government service to the United States. Everyone agrees those babies are U.S. citizens like everyone else.
The children of Japanese aliens in internment camps were considered citizens. Like, you people could not possibly be more wrong about this. Now, that's her job, is to say that, okay? She's the other side's attorney. But I will tell you that the justices were grilling John Sauer, and they were lightly peppering her with occasional questions, which is another indication that they did not see any problem with the argument she was making. They saw lots of problems with what the Trump administration was arguing.
The question that the 14th Amendment asks is whether the U.S.-born child is subject to U.S. jurisdiction when they're born.
Meaning, are they within the U.S. territory?
Exactly. Other than people covered by that closed set of exceptions.
Okay. Thank you.
That's right. In other words, the government's rule, which really is looking at whether someone has a divided allegiance because they're a citizen of another country, would exclude the children of all foreign nationals. And that isn't what they're saying.
As opposed to specifically foreign diplomats.
Recall that at the time the framers are thinking about birthright citizenship, there have just been 15 or 20 years of unprecedented immigration from Ireland. The Know Nothing Party was dominant in the 1850s, just a decade earlier, and they were vehemently opposed to Irish immigration. They believed Irish Catholic immigrants were unassimilable and could never become Americans. But even the Know Nothing Party members of Congress believed that the children born in the United States to those Irish immigrants were citizens like anyone else. That's the intuition that the framers of the 14th Amendment had.
Meaning that the people who hated the fact that, for example, the Irish were citizens still believed that they were. They thought it was a terrible idea to let them have citizenship, but they still acknowledged that they were citizens. And so today we have this fight where some people think that the children of illegal immigrants or the children of temporary, people who are here vacationing or temporary visas should not be granted citizenship. And you can believe that. That is a perfectly interesting conversation to have. Would it be better if we did not grant citizenship to these people? But that's not the question the Supreme Court is answering. The question the Supreme Court is answering is, does the law allow you to deprive them from citizenship? Or does the law grant them, does the Constitution grant them citizenship? And of course, the Trump administration says that they believe it does not. They have been told they're wrong at every step of the process so far, and I think they're going to get told that they're wrong by the Supreme Court. Now, if we want to change that law, if we want to change the Constitution, we certainly can. But again, one of the key problems here for the other side is that they are willing to embrace and do not want the Supreme Court to overturn the Wong Kim Ark precedent. And, I mean, that's fatal. Now, on the other side, I haven't mentioned this in this segment. I've talked about this all 3 hours so far because this is important. This is big stuff, right? The argument on the other side goes something like this. People who are not here legally and or people who do not intend to stay should not be granted citizenship. Okay. Nobody ever believed that that would be applied that way, because when the 14th Amendment was ratified, we didn't even have such a concept of illegal immigrant. And the idea that people would, you know, grab a citizenship by being here temporarily, despite the 1844 case, she said, is not in the popular consciousness. So if they had anticipated this rule would be used this way, they most certainly would not have agreed to it. But the problem is they wrote the rule the way they wrote it. And if they wrote the rule the way they wrote it, it allows those people to have citizenship, even if the people who wrote the rule that way didn't anticipate that problem. That's how law works. If the law gets applied consistently and then you just don't like the way it gets applied, you have to change the law. You can't say, oh, well, those people, you know, if they'd have thought about this, they would have said it the other way, because there is no evidence that that's the case. Last clip here from Cecilia Wong interacting with Justice Kavanaugh.
I think Mr. Sauer acknowledged that, and you mentioned this in your opening, that if we agree with you on how to read Wong Kim Ark, then you win. So that could be a, if we did agree with you on Wong Kim Ark, that could be just a short opinion, right? That says the better reading is respondents' reading. Government doesn't ask us to overrule. Affirmed.
Like we could be done here with two or three sentences, right?
Yes.
Last question, though. Why would we address the constitutional issue? This is the last one. Why would you address the constitutional issue, given your argument on the statutory? Our usual practice, as you're well aware, of course, is to resolve things on statutory grounds and not to do a constitutional ground.
Sure. You know, I think we obviously have these two paths to a win here. We're happy to win on either or both of them. I do think it would be prudent for the court to reaffirm its decision in Wong Kim Ark, where it's a landmark decision about the definition of national citizenship in this country. I just think it would be prudent for the court to go ahead and reaffirm that. But of course, we're happy to take a win on any ground.
Thank you.
We're happy to win any way you want to let us win. By the way, if you're thinking to yourself, well, he's playing all the clips from the one side. What about the other side? The 5 o'clock hour. All the clips in the 5 o'clock hour are from John Sauer. All the clips in the 6 o'clock hour are from John Sauer. So I've done both over the course of the day. 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Pensacola Little Theater. Get ready to laugh out loud with Junie B. Jones, the musical from April 10th through the 12th. That's today through Sunday. Tickets available at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com. Still dealing with the accident on Navarre Parkway and Mooring Drive that has traffic very slow right now. Traffic is still backed up past the Navarre Beach Bridge, but it's moving at least. So you expect about a 15-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I have more tickets. Burger Battle by the Bay tomorrow, 1:30, Community Maritime Park. But here's the trick. You got to be able to come pick them up today. Today during business hours. So caller number 3-437-1620. Win tickets to go eat a bunch of great burgers tomorrow at Community Maritime Park. But you got to be able to pick up the tickets today.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to thank all of our listeners who tune in to our daily Strength for Life segments here in Pensacola and across the country. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your thoughtful feedback. Thank you for humbly letting God strengthen you through the principles of His Word and the power of His Spirit. If you're interested in more Strength for Life, please check out our YouTube channel. Our radio segments are only 60 seconds in length, but our YouTube video segments provide 4 to 5 minute videos of practical Bible content on topics such as overcoming jealousy, how to strengthen your marriage, and much more. Find our YouTube channel by searching Strength for Life Pensacola and be sure to subscribe. We produce fresh video content each week, which is certain to strengthen your walk with God and strengthen your relationship with others.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Big renovation plans? Don't pay big prices. Now, Home Outlet in-store doorbuster deals are live. Save $2 a square foot on hybrid waterproof oak flooring. Now just $198. Interior door units, any size, starting at only $99. Or upgrade your bathroom vanity for just $219. Plus, deep savings on countertops, exterior doors, bathroom fixtures, and more. But hurry, these doorbuster deals won't last. In-store at Home Outlet Pensacola location only. Find us at homeoutlet.com.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish this Saturday at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish this Saturday.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important?
7:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent. Who won tickets?
Johnny did.
Johnny did. All right, outstanding. And he was very excited. What did he say?
I want to eat some burgers.
Like it. Oh, that's fantastic. That is a good feed, too. Have you ever been to the Burger Battle?
No.
Oh, it's really good. It's all the, like, the most interesting burgers you could imagine. And, you know, just eat them all.
Sounds yummy.
Fantastic.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa, Vice President J.D. Vance, heading to Pakistan for peace talks with Iran. But can they get on the same page?
One issue that appears to be a sticking point is whether or not Israel will still be able to strike Hezbollah, Iran's largest proxy based in Lebanon. Overnight, Israel struck a variety of launching positions in southern Lebanon, and shortly after, Hezbollah launched a rocket that triggered sirens in Tel Aviv.
Fox's Trey Yanks in the city, an Israeli intelligence official tells Fox News Iran is demanding fees from vessels that pass through the Strait of Hormuz. Artemis II and its four-person crew splashing down later today up the coast of San Diego.
The winds cooperate. Well below that threshold of 30 miles per hour, 35 miles per hour, and also the wave heights. You want the largest wave out of the set to be less than 6 feet.
Fox Weather's Britta Merwin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got clear skies right now, looking like it's going to be a beautiful morning, 63 degrees. We'll get to our full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way in just a few minutes. Two swimmers got caught in rip currents at Perdido Key yesterday and were rescued by fellow beachgoers before EMS could get there. Red flags were flying at the time. Lifeguards will not be returning to Perdido Key until the end of May. An update on that school stabbing in Walton County. The 12-year-old accused of stabbing two students and a school employee at the Walton Middle School last month has been indicted as an adult. A Walton County grand jury indicted Landon Robinson on charges including attempted first-degree premeditated murder. Investigators say Robinson had a knife and brought a mask from home before the March 24th attack. He is alleged to have put the mask on in a school bathroom, then randomly stabbed victims in a hallway. After fleeing, Robinson then threw the knife into a retention pond. It was later recovered by investigators. The two student victims had been hospitalized in critical condition after that attack. And a Escambia County Sheriff's deputy that got into an eight-minute argument with a First Amendment auditor near the Islamic Center of Northwest Florida recently will be returning to full duty. Sheriff Chip Simmons says an internal review is now complete and they've taken appropriate measures.
After an internal review of our deputy's actions, appropriate measures have been taken. And our deputy will be back to serve the citizens of Escambia County with courtesy, integrity, and professionalism.
And that deputy has not been named. The citizen involved was not arrested. One of the most common pushbacks against the Santa Rosa County's new school zone speed cameras is simple. Why not just put more deputies out there? Well, Major Brinkman with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office answered that question on Thursday. He says the math tells the story. The board voted unanimously to move forward with the cameras, which are paid for by the vendor at no cost to the county. Officials from the sheriff's office say deputies at schools help, but they need more to tackle the problem.
I just want to say that for school zones, for the cameras, I'm in support of that. If it's going to save a child's life, I'm looking at some of the, because this was a 5-day supported, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just blown away at some of the speeds that people went through speed zones at. It's crazy. If this will save some child's lives, hey, if you're speeding, pay.
And that was actually Commissioner Bobby Burkett there. I think I played the wrong audio. This is Major Brinkman.
Most of the resource officers are confined to the school because that's where the priority is for the kids, the staff, and the car rider line. So the school board was generous enough to hire deputies to work in the school zones. But let's say the school zone's 30 to 45 minutes long. Well, in that time when somebody comes flying through there and a deputy goes after them, at most, the deputy may be able to stop 2-3 cars if he's lucky. Well, how many do you miss because of the simple point that you can't handle the volume of cars that are coming through there if you take...
And studies from other jurisdictions show a 94% to 95% reduction in speeding after those camera systems go live. It's 7:35 right now, News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Home Outlet in Pensacola, where you'll find flooring for every budget and big savings on your next home project. Still working that accident over in Navarre on Navarre Parkway and Mooring Drive. Traffic is moving, but it's very slow. It's still backed up past the Navarre Beach Bridge, so just be aware of that. Plan an extra 18 minutes for that commute. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing our construction delay of 7 minutes. And Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road approaching I-10, you're seeing about an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at some beautiful sunny skies today. Temperatures warming up, getting around 78 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Saturday, nice sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Heading into Sunday, mostly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 64. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 63 degrees. We've got clear skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Consumer prices likely recorded their biggest increase in nearly 4 years in March as the war with Iran boosted oil prices and the pass-through from tariffs persisted. Reuters economists predict that the CPI likely increased by 0.9% last month. Data drops in 10 minutes. Oil prices remain slightly higher as the U.S.-Iran ceasefire fails to boost tanker traffic via the Strait of Hormuz. West Texas Intermediate, currently hovering at $98 per barrel. Brent is at $96. Alibaba Cloud is investing in a new type of artificial intelligence designed to better replicate the real world, using a different approach from chatbots such as OpenAI's ChatGPT. The shift recognizes the limits of large language models trained primarily on text. Futures are still mixed with all eyes on the Middle East conflict. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 275, the NASDAQ up 187, the S&P 500 up 41. That's Your Money Now.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. from running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Here's a tale of Tina searching up and down for decent GLP-1s, but got spun around.
Till GoodRx wrote in, hey, we got something new. GLP-1 prescriptions, all FDA approved.
Brand name meds, no flags in a red.
Clear pricing from the start. None of those hidden fees in your cart.
Delivered to your door or pick up same day. Darn tootin'.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Hot foot it to goodrx.com/weightloss. GoodRx is not insurance.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
I love that you joined me, John.
Well, I mean, I was doing it anyway. So,
can you imagine an alternate reality in which that song had become the song they sing at Fenway instead of Sweet Caroline?
Oh.
Imagine a different world, a world in which a British band instead of a local. Another world. Obviously, we talked yesterday quite extensively about this body cam video with the First Amendment nitwit and the Escambia County Sheriff's deputy, how she did handle it better than she could have, still not as well as she could have, how the sheriff had put her on administrative leave, things she did right, things that maybe she could have done better. You know, one person texted in earlier and said, I think she was fully justified in arresting him. As soon as he got up in her face, that was, proximity assault and, you know, circling around her and that kind of stuff. Probably. But, you know, if you are going to touch somebody, go ahead and arrest them. You know, that's usually kind of the rule. And, you know, if it's justified to touch, it's justified to arrest. Times of discretion to do nothing, to say nothing. We've talked about this quite a bit yesterday. Chip Simmons put out a video late yesterday.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons with an update on an interaction one of our deputies had a few days ago with an individual standing on the side of the roadway videoing the area. One of our deputies had an interaction with this individual, which led to a back and forth that did not reflect our core values of courtesy, integrity, and professionalism.
Yeah, and he doesn't specify what particularly. Chirping back with him, getting into personal attacks, the profanity is not really the issue. I mean, good luck getting cops to never swear. Yeah, just good luck. So you have an unrealistic picture of the world, sir. But, you know, the touching him somewhat without actually arresting him, you know, hands-on without going really hands-on. I'm guessing that was the thing. And just kind of how could you do things a little bit better, that kind of concept.
The Constitution allows for an individual to stand in a public place and also allows for someone to record or video what he or she could see or hear from this public vantage point. We train for this type of encounter, and our expectation is that our employees abide by our core values, regardless of the actions of others.
Yeah, no matter what they do, as long as what they're doing is within the law, within the Constitution, you know, you have to allow that. Doesn't mean you have to like it, but it's just like, you know, the protections for free speech are there to protect offensive, obnoxious, disturbing, upsetting speech, because you don't need to protect the other kind, right? That's kind of the idea.
While we may or may not agree with every individual's motive, the protections guaranteed in the Constitution apply to everyone.
Yeah, motive doesn't matter. There are limits. You know, there's fighting words. There are you know, limits, okay, to what you can say and what you can do. But he didn't cross any of those lines, except you might say, I think you could make the argument that when he was up close to her and circling her, that that probably would have justified action at that point. But, you know, she obviously did not take that action, so we don't have that case to look at exactly.
After an internal review of our deputy's actions, appropriate measures have been taken, and our deputy will be back to serve the citizens of Escambia County with courtesy, integrity, and professionalism.
That's my favorite part of this story, because, yes, she should not be fired. She should be allowed back. I mean, of course. And, you know, like Mike Wood told us yesterday, one of the things, the best thing to do in this circumstance is just, you know, don't give them what they want. Don't feed the trolls. But it's easier said than done. But that is still what you should do, is don't feed the trolls. Now, by the way, this is something that they do apparently with ordinary citizens as well. Anything to provoke a reaction, anything to create engaging, captivating, obnoxious content for these social media platforms. And, you know, do you blame the idiot, you know, the nitwit, the so-called auditor, for doing this? Or do you blame the people that, you know, like the videos and subscribe and watch and feed the, you know, or TikTok or whoever pays him any kind of a fee? You know, like, who do you blame? I mean, all. You blame all. But I'm just glad to hear that she's going to be back on the job. And you know, I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit with the sheriff on Tuesday, as we always do. 744 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. A federal judge has again said that the Department of War is wrong, that the Pentagon is wrong for its discrimination against certain news outlets on the basis of viewpoint, and that their decision to respond to the earlier judgment to just kick all the reporters out of the Pentagon is not an acceptable answer. So this is another case where the Trump administration, at least the Department of War, is very much at odds with what a judge is telling them to do. And I'll tell you, I think the judge is right and the Department of War is wrong. It's a weird hissy fit that the Department of War is pitching on all of this, that they do not want to be covered by the press in a way that they do not love and tough. I mean, that's the nature of being covered by the press. And that's what we love about this country, is that the press is free to do its thing in order to bring to us, the citizens who make our votes, about what we think is being done in leadership based on what the press tells us about what the Department of War is doing. If the Department of War doesn't like the way they're being covered, then they can produce their own communications. They can put out their own press releases. They can tweet. You know, they can put out Trump social posts, right? They can do whatever they want to do. And they can combat what they think is the false narrative. Heck, the White House has created its own web resource for what they consider to be fake news. All allowed. Perfectly fine. But what you can't do is limit them to only have access if they're going to pre-authorize stories with you. That's absurd. It's obscene. And, you know, I'll say it. It's un-American. So I seem to be using that word a lot lately. But I kind of believe in these key principles, right? The rules for democracy, the rules for free speech and the press. 437-1620, 437-1620. Why are we at least a little bit concerned about the reentry of the Artemis II capsule tonight? I'll tell you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with the earlier accident that happened on Navarre Parkway and Mooring Drive. It's a 98 eastbound approaching. Traffic is backed up past the Navarre Beach Bridge. But the good news is it is moving, but still it's slow, about an 8-minute delay. And then 98 westbound approaching Gulf Breeze, experiencing a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're considering that next vehicle or putting off considering that next vehicle, which I think is a very human thing to do, because buying a car is a time-consuming and money-consuming and stress-consuming, you know, producing thing. And then you think about the problems of dealing with the salespeople and finding the car you even want to look at and then going to different places and telling them your life story. And I mean, just all of it. Okay, try Frontier Motors. Just try them. Go by and prove me wrong, okay? Go by and talk to them and say, hey, Andrew McKay said I should come here. Here's the kind of car I think I'm interested in. Do you have anything that's like this? Let me drive a couple and talk to you about, you know, what the price comparison would be. If they have what you like, you buy it. If they don't have what you like, send them looking for it. Or, I mean, worst case scenario, you don't like the experience. Gee, you drove a few cars and you learned some stuff. But you will like the experience because their whole goal is to be better, is to be different, is to be not what you expect from a used car place. And they succeed at that over and over and over and over again. For more than 25 years, Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. I told you I'd talk about the Artemis II capsule. John was eager to make me take a commercial break, but I decided to not.
Well, I was ready just in case you wanted to do it. Because there's no little lights or something in here.
So can I just, this is a total aside. This is how I do radio. First of all, I know that if I wait 3 minutes, I will forget that I was going to do that and I'll do something else and be like, whoa, what about the Artemis II? So that's part, like, knowing myself.
Right.
Like,
you're getting older.
Bird, dog, tennis ball.
Elvis.
Yeah. The other one is, I always feel like the, you know, in radio, the tease concept is, I mean, I get it. I know it, but it's like manipulative sort of. I don't like to manipulate. I feel like I made you wait through the traffic that, and the one ad. That's long enough. So, okay. That's just, you know, tune back in 20 minutes when we'll be. Shut up. Who listens to the radio that way? Nobody listens to the radio that way. Yeah. In 1 hour and 17 minutes, we'll be talking to. Stop it.
I set my watch.
Yeah, let me set an alarm. I'll come back. It's so absurd. Anyway. I just try not to do dumb things. I don't always win. I sometimes still do them, but I really try hard not to do them, which is, you know, kind of thinking about you as if you were me and how I react to this kind of stuff. Okay, so the Artemis II, the re-entry heat shield is a big deal. 5,000 degrees, half the surface of the sun, right? I almost said surface of the moon. Half the surface is at 5,000 degrees. You know, your oven mitts won't hold up under that circumstance. So it has to be very well designed. So here's the thing. We had what I thought was a very good design on the space shuttle. We had what I thought was a very good design for even the Apollo missions. I mean, decades old technology that worked really well. No, we'll do a new thing. You mean like the Outlook program or like the toilet? You mean like stop innovating when you've got something that works. So here's the problem. The heat shield, we know from the Artemis 1 reentry, didn't go great. Now, the capsule survived, but the capsule coming back intact is not the only thing you have to be concerned about with humans inside, right? You know, and also, is that one as bad as it can get? So if you look at it, here, John, I don't think you've seen these pictures. Let me show you these pictures, and you can react for me. Can you see that?
Yes.
You see that? What is it? How would you describe that? That's the Artemis 1 capsule heat shield bottom.
Yeah, the bottom part is just like torn off.
You would never put that ship back up in orbit to come back in with,
no,
right? It looks like, you know, when you go to a desert and it's gotten rain and then it's got the cracked kind of effect. That's what it looks like. There's all kinds of cracks and crevices and scrapes and even pieces that are missing from the outside crust, they call it, of the heat shield. And here's what happened. When you re-enter at 5,000 degrees and then you bounce back up and then you come back in, everything gets really hot and then it goes out in the space again and then it gets cold. Well, the problem is you have two layers, the internal layer and the external layer. Both layers get hot up to 5,000 degrees. When you go back into space, which layer cools first? Well, the outside one. The outside one is designed to be permeable, so that gases created by the superheating of the interior lining or layer have a place to go. But it becomes permeable when it becomes hot. When it's cold, it's not permeable. So you have a hot interior layer and a hot exterior layer. It goes back up into space when it's bouncing. The outside layer cools rapidly, is no longer permeable. Where does all that gas go? The superheated gas inside, it doesn't have anywhere to go. So it forces its way through, it creates cracks and crevices, and in one couple of cases actually kind of expelled stuff violently off the crust. That's bad. That's not what you want. So what did they do? Well, they put a brand new technology in and they replaced the technology. No, they did the exact same technology because it was too close to the time to replace it and do something new. What they did instead was they altered the trajectory, so it's going to come in at a different angle where it's, I think the theory is that it's not going to go back up into space as much to cool. So it's going to get hot, cool a little, but it's within the tolerances so that the outgassing can occur safely and you won't have this same fracturing, scratching, and expulsion of the material that came off of Artemis 1. Now, there's one at least notable former astronaut who has said, this is a crazy plan. You should not do this. The inside people, the engineers, and obviously the folks running things at NASA, and all four of the astronauts, they all say, no, we're comfortable with this. And remember, the first one didn't blow up or anything. The first one didn't pull apart. It just had problems. So when it's re-entering, this is the most dangerous part, when it's re-entering, to make sure that goes well. As you may remember, there have been other incidents with re-entry, okay? And I'm just telling you, this doesn't make any sense to me, but I am on the outside and it's not my life on the line. But would I have trusted my life to the reentry as I understood it a week ago? Sure. Would I be eager to trust my life to this? So hopefully, all of this is much ado about what turns out to be nothing. But I just want to let you know, that's what they're kind of facing on the reentry. John, did I miss anything? Because I'd explained this once before, but it makes sense.
All right, you're good.
All right, 753 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Building-related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner, and your system will be much more energy efficient, too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com. Edit, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish this Saturday at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs for Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish this Saturday.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
One of my favorite moments is when a business owner sees our ADX Digital Toolbox and they sit back in their chair and they have this look of surprise on their face and they say, I had no idea you guys did all of this. We have 19 ways to deliver your message to your specific audience inside your geographic footprint with reporting that proves its effectiveness, all for less than you might expect.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
I have with me Mrs. Alma Lee Brown, who today successfully defended herself against two muggers with an unusual weapon. Mrs. Brown, would you tell us how you drove off your attackers today?
With a hatpin!
Talk about a gem of a film that I'm betting very few people can quote from. John, did you recognize that one?
No.
Other John, did you recognize? Jonathan Owens is here. No? Death Wish. The old Charles Bronson vigilante movie. Right. Right, which is a great movie.
He does random stuff like this to me all the time.
I just watched that the other day. Oh, that's a really interesting movie, too. It's not just the, like, you know, I don't know. It asks some very interesting questions. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Home Outlet in Pensacola. Bathroom upgrades for every budget, plus savings on kitchens, flooring, and more. Let's see here. Still dealing with the accident that happened a little earlier on Navarre Parkway and Mooring Drive. Traffic is at least flowing eastbound again, but now we're starting to see some delays through the Windhaven Beach going eastbound. So just be prepared for that. 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze, seeing a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Part of what's fascinating about that movie is he's very effective as a vigilante, and other people kind of follow suit a little bit, and crime goes way down. And even the police and the mayor are like, we want you to stop, but we don't like we don't want the effects of what you're doing to stop. Like, it's a fascinating movie. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Vice President J.D. Vance has arrived in Pakistan ahead of planned U.S.-Iran peace talks, with Pakistan helping to mediate the negotiations. Negotiators are expected to include envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. The United States Postal Service says it's taking emergency steps to stay afloat financially. They are warning they could run out of cash as early as February. The agency is planning to temporarily suspend contributions to the federal employees' retirement system, which is expected to free up around $2.5 billion for them.
4 cents, right? Isn't that what they're jacking it? 78 to 82 or something like that cents? Just make it a buck.
Like that, yeah.
Make it a buck and we'll be done for a decade, which we won't be. They'll raise it again next year. It's so absurd.
The Super Mario Galaxy movie expected to stay on top at the box office for a second weekend. It's projected to make $60 to $70 million. Of course, it had that massive $131 million debut.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, here's an odd little small note that I had not reported on just yet. This is from about a week or so ago. The PNJ doing a good job reporting this. Adam Kissel, one of the controversial members of the UWF Board of Trustees, is no longer a trustee. Bill died in committee. There was some, pushback against him being, several times there was pushback against him being on the board. And then, Don Gates kind of paused it and it never went forward to the whole floor. And that's it. He's just off and he cannot be reappointed, apparently, is part of the deal here. So, and you know what to me is frustrating about this is I actually thought Adam Kissel was a very good board member, very productive, very useful, accomplished a lot of things. And he's out. Zach Smith is still there on both boards. Well, you know what? The world does not always accommodate itself to what Andrew McKay wants or what you want or what John Pickens wants. And sometimes you just have to say, God's still on the throne.
Local talk in the morning.